Bill, good to see you and donning the Rutgers shirt today, huh?
Yeah, I am.
Son sends you stuff, huh? Is that how it works?
I'm stealing his stuff.
I was going to say, he left it in the laundry when he went back to school. Yeah. That's probably more
like
it.
You're at a big sale somewhere.
Next week, it'll be UMass lacrosse gear.
That's right.
Amanda, that's where it will be. By the way, before we get into last night's game, did they request that you wear one of those throwback hoodies or something like that last night? Because I noticed Jerron had like a throwback.
Oh, I don't know. I just
didn't ask you or anything.
That gray sweatshirt was kind of there on the way out, so I grabbed it.
Shorts.
That only throws back for 3 or 4 years. I mean, it hasn't been around forever.
Surprised that sucker moves, actually.
It was throw back, not throw out.
It's like a cast now. It's so hot.
We had Troy Brown in here earlier today, and Troy was talking about game ones and how difficult those first games are, timing, everything else. You haven't really played a game. You haven't played a full game because you played, you know, less minutes in the preseason or whatever. How much did that play into what we saw for 3 quarters and 7 minutes last night?
Well, I think for both teams, it's that different feeling of, as you said, playing 60 minutes, spending more time on the game plan, seeing the other team game plan for you, having to make adjustments and get all on the same page. And so, you know, I think all those are, you know, all those play into it. And you're right. You see a lot of unusual things on opening day. And, you know, we saw them last night. You know, I thought the players really hung in there. Even though the deck was stacked against us there, they kept fighting. They made some plays and made enough to win. So I'm really proud of them for that. But at the same time, we got a lot of work to do and things we need to improve in. And, you know, we don't want to put ourselves in that situation again. So we're fortunate to come out of it last night, and I'm proud of them, but we've got to, you know, we've got to play better than that, and coach better too. We got to do a better job all the way around.
Was Tom rusty or tentative at the beginning of the game?
You know, I don't think anybody was tentative, Steve. I would just say our timing overall, from a total team standpoint, offensively and defensively, and the execution and all, wasn't at the level we'd like for it to be.
And you saw, you know, they point out on the telecast, this footwork, you know, he planted harder, looked to be more decisive as things went. And by the third quarter, it was a totally different offensive team than it was in the first quarter. First of all, you don't watch a lot of Buffalo. They're an attacking team. They make you make mistakes, but also give you some openings. But they seem to be much more cohesive by that third quarter than they were in the first quarter.
Right. Well, you know, we only punted once in the game. We moved the ball pretty consistently. We just didn't do a good job in the red area. We missed on some third and fourth down conversions in the high red area there, long field goal range type situation. So had we done a little bit better there, we could have had, you know, a few more points, and but we didn't. And at the same time, we didn't stop them in the red area either, so that was another part of the problem defensively. But I don't think that it wasn't a lack of effort. It wasn't a lack of knowing what to do. It was just an overall execution thing. And, you know, I think from a coaching standpoint, we could have, you know, maybe practiced things a little bit differently than we did. We could have executed them a little bit better as players, but we just got to do a better job. And we're all committed to that, and hopefully we can improve on it this week.
Now, the Bills had a new coordinator, right? And we don't know how his game plan was going to evolve. But they throw any things. They've seen to run some traps with the tight ends. They've seen to run a little bit of screening, caught you a little bit a few times. Was there anything that you didn't see, or was it different from what you had anticipated?
Well, I think they played a little more two tight ends than what I thought they were going to do. I thought that we would see more of the three receivers with you know, either Parrish or Reed in there with T.O. and Lee Evans. But when they only activated four receivers for the game and three tight ends, then we got a little bit of a head start of that before the game. We felt like three tight ends and four receivers doesn't probably lend itself to a lot of three receivers in the game. So we spent a little more time on that in the hour or so before the game. But you know, we had a lot of coverage on Owens and on Evans, and I thought overall we did a pretty good job on them. That lightened us up a little bit in the running game. It lightened us up a little bit on the back and the tight ends, and so those guys, you know, they hurt us a little bit, and it was a good job by Buffalo getting to them and not forcing the ball into the receivers. But that was kind of our choice. You know, every one they threw to Schumann or Nelson, that's one less to Lee Evans and Terrell Owens. Mm-hmm. So But we, you know, we could have done a better job probably coaching it and defending it. But they, you know, that's how they attacked us, and they did a good job with it.
How do you do something like that? Because we have been mentioning today, T.O., 2 catches, 46 yards. Lee Evans, 3 catches, 25 yards. My guess is you're pretty happy with the way your secondary dealt with those guys. But they moved on and found other openings, other things they could do. How do you, as you look at a game like that, say, next time we have to do this?
Well, there'll be a next time, and we'll have to take a look at whether we want to stick with that same strategy and try to play it better, or whether we want to alter it a little bit and give a little more presence to defensively to the tight ends and the backs and take it away from Owens and Lee Evans. So, we'll see how things shape up the next time. But that was basically the decision that we made in the game.
They seem to be using a number of trap plays and almost counter plays sometimes. Did you see that in anything leading up to the game, in any of their film or anything?
Yeah. I don't think they changed their running game too much, Steve. They ran the counter a little bit and the flash play with the tight end coming back to the other side, and they bent it back a couple times. And Jackson's a good runner. We saw plenty of him last year in the last game of the year, and he ran well. He's got good vision, good balance, and he's tough, especially in the open field, like we saw on the screens and a couple of those bounce out runs. So, but again, when we were, at times, a decent part of the time, doubling up on the outside receivers, then we're trying to play really 7 against 8 inside there, or 7 against 9, however you want to look at it. And, a couple of times we just got spread a little bit too thin.
Now, on the offense, they were backing off Randy on coverage and virtually giving you a 5 or 6 yard pass. That surprised you a little bit, that coverage on. I mean, it seemed like they're backing off a lot of times and to give them space.
Yeah, they ran a little a coverage that we've seen plenty of, but not from Buffalo. What we call quarters coverage, where they kind of play 4 across, and that was a little different than what they had shown against us previously, and also in the preseason game. So again, it wasn't a new coverage. It wasn't that. It's just something that they hadn't shown a lot of. So. You know, we saw pretty quickly what they were going to be doing there, and then they mixed in a couple other things, especially at the end of the game in the 2-minute drives. So, they did a good job. They didn't pressure us a lot, but they did a pretty good job, really, of not giving up a lot of big plays, and at least until the end, and they did a good job on the running game. So it looked like that was their defensive strategy.
Now with that. They had when Watson ran down the middle, he looked like he had man coverage, and Brady saw it right away because they spread the corners and the safety split out.
Yeah, on the first one, they were in a 2-deep coverage, and he kind of got behind the linebacker there, and that was more open than the second throw. The second throw, they were running with him, and he was really pretty well covered. Tom made a throw to his back shoulder behind the defender, and Ben made a real nice catch, and so. It was a similar play with, two different coverages.
That's a vulnerability of that cover, too, though. When you get a tight end that can run like that, it's going to be covering man-to-man down the middle of the field.
Right.
And watching the game against this morning, particularly early on in the first quarter, it seemed like you had a lot of rotation regarding the offensive line. Was that, and sometimes you didn't even have any tight ends out there. Was that because, by design, depending on what running back you had in the game?
No, it was when we went to, when we had Matt Light playing tight end, then Vollmer came in and played tackle. And on the next play, if we were to go to a different personnel group where we had a tight end in the game, then by rule, Matt would have to come out of the game for one play. Mm-hmm. And so Sebastian would stay in at tackle, and then Light would be out for a play, and then he would be back in the next play. So that was kind of how that worked. It really didn't have too much to do with the back. It was just more of whether we wanted that extra offensive lineman at tight end. And based on where we were a little bit earlier in the week, where it was the two veteran players, Watson and Baker, even though we had Matthews, he just hadn't had as much experience and as many reps at it, so we used Matt in that situation.
So once he declares himself, Matt Light does, he has to come out in order to re-enter as a tackle.
Yes, he can't go from eligible to ineligible without sitting out of play, or there being a timeout, or a change of quarter, or clock stoppage.
Were they walking? Because it looked like initially you're getting the running game going, and it seemed like they stepped up a little bit to take away the run.
Well, they I mean, they did a couple different things, but they brought their safeties down a significant part of the game, and in doing that, that allowed them to stunt their linemen some, and so at times they hit us on a couple of those, and other times they just came down and their safeties filled, you know, Whitner and Scott. So they did a good job mixing it up, but it looked like they were trying to, you know, do a good job of taking away the running game and trying to be competitive on all the underneath throws, you know, Welker and Kevin, and not that we didn't hit those guys some, but, you know, they were, a lot of them were good throws and good catches. The coverage was fairly tight. They were trying to, you know, be tight on us. It wasn't a lot of, you know, a lot of soft zone coverage from them. A little bit, but not much.
I think we're confused once again about an official's call, and more or less the ruling, exactly how it's worded and how it's executed, and that was the Vince play on Trent Edwards. My understanding is, under this new so-called Brady rule or whatever, is that if you're coming off of a block, you can't lunge below the knees or above the shoulders. Is that correct? Is that
right,
the way it's written?
Yeah, you can't hit a quarterback below the knees or above the shoulders.
Okay, now he hit him in the stomach. And he really
wasn't,
I wouldn't call it a block. If anything, he shifted, Vince shifted around the center to be able to get into position. That's a little shaky when you're calling that an actual block out there. Did you have trouble looking at that and trying to figure out how that applies to the definition of the rule?
Yeah, no doubt about it, Glenn. I think that was a tough call, you know, I think we're going to be able to sit here every week on Patriots Monday and talk about some call in the game that, you know, we might have thought went a different way. I'm sure Buffalo feels the same way about the offensive interference that they were called for. So, you know, it's a tough call. It's hard to tell Vince what, you know, there's not much I could tell him to do differently. And, you know, you just got to play through some of those things. You know, I think every game's going to have its share of maybe a bad call or a bad break or a bad bounce or something, and that's part of, you know, part of the team's mental toughness and resiliency is playing for 60 minutes, playing through adversity, and you know, overcoming those situations. So
if they're going to call,
you try to coach the rules the best that you can in the way you interpret them. I don't know, maybe they missed the call, or maybe, you know, maybe it was too close or whatever, but there isn't much I would tell them to
do differently. You've always told, excuse me for a second, Fred, you've always told us, though, and I, that you tell the players you've got to play within the rules and you've got to, you know, due to the definition of the rule. In this case, isn't it really a fine line, and that you can't afford to have a defensive player coming in there and not hit the quarterback? That quarterback makes that completion. You're down 7 just like that.
Oh, well, Glenn, you don't have to tell us. That's, mm-hmm. you know, that's the Super Bowl. I mean, there's Manning, and there's
right?
There's no more in the grasp. And, you know, so if you don't knock them down and they throw it, then, you know, you got to defend it. So it is. It's tough. It's tough for a defensive player to make that judgment of, you know, what's legal and what's not. It's clear cut above the shoulders and below the knees. There's no doubt about it. That's clear cut. Some of the other ones are, you know, there's different shades of gray there, and not sure that every referee would have called it, you know, the way Scott Green called it last night. But that's, again, whether it was right or wrong, just maybe if they missed a call or didn't miss a call, or we drop a pass or miss a tackle, or, you know, it's just we got to play through it.
I think that's tough, though. I mean, I understand the league, and we talked about it earlier, it's got to protect the quarterback because you don't want to lose the marquee players out of the game. That would hurt the game. On the other hand, how do you tell a defensive player, you got to be careful, you can't cross that line? He's in the midst of a game. He's trying to prevent a 35-yard completion, you know?
Well, Bill, if they're going to call it that way, then they're going to call in the grass. You know, Telly Bantakane had him by the leg, right? If he's holding him there and he's still viable, and someone comes a clown and clocks him right in the chest, they'll call him for roughing the passer because they'll say he's in the grass. Well, then you got to call it. You can't let him run around while he's being grabbed.
Look, I agree it's tough, but... Look, I'm not going to sit here and argue about officials.
Yeah, you don't want to get fined.
I'm not going to defend them. I'm not going to, you know, say, it was their judgment, and in the end, that's what we got to play by. So.
Will Vince be affected by that particular play, though?
I don't think so.
Be as aggressive?
No, I don't think so.
The offensive line seemed to have better protection for Brady in the second half than they did in the first half. Did the films bear that out?
I think they probably did, Steve. Yeah, I think they probably did. You know, I think got surprised a couple times by their quickness. Not that we didn't know they were quick, but just, you know, practicing against it and playing against it. Yeah, game speeds, two different things. And I think we adjusted to their stunts and their speed a little bit. You know, Maven, Schoble, you know, good upfield rushers, and some of the games they ran in the early part of the game, you know, we were kind of on the edge on it, didn't quite get them fronted up. But that got better, and probably the volume of plays, you know, warmed down a little bit. I think we were around 85 plays offensively, so we snapped the ball a lot, and I'm sure that took a toll on the defensive lineman rushing a passer a little bit at the end of the game.
And they're an aggressive upfield pass. And they're one gap. They hit gaps. They hit stunts on the run on first downs and second downs. They're not a team that sits there two gaps and reads. They're going to come at you and make you make decisions from the time you get going. And a guy like Schoble is so athletic, when you cut him like a cutting a tailor, he's so athletic he can jump over things like that.
He's very athletic, and Maven on the other side. I mean, those ends are, you know, even Denny and Kelsey, they're tall guys. They're pretty athletic. They're hard to throw over, and they are hard to cut. So they give you a big presence on the edge, and that's something you got to contend with Buffalo. Though is the length and the not only the height, but I would say the length of those defensive ends.
But the downside to that is if you get them on different levels, you can run through it on a draw, or you can step up into it because they rush at different angles because they're penetrating upfield.
Right. Yep. And then they count on the linebackers to cover that up. Yeah. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Yep.
On the screen, when you have the backs covering off deep, you have to have your defensive linemen are the main guys in the coming. Your back is going to turn that in, for the most part. Was there a problem with the linemen getting over quickly, or is it just too well run that time?
Oh, I think there are a lot of problems on the screen. You know better than I that. You know, defensive linemen read screens and their keys, and we've got to identify those and see that screen form in and get the inside-out pursuit. Whoever the force guy is, whether it's man-to-man or whether it's a zone, somebody's got to turn the screen back in to the pursuit. The pursuit's got to be close enough to it to get there, and when it's not, then they split you and they gain some yards. So we didn't defend the screens very well on any level. We didn't do a good job with our underneath coverage. We didn't do a good job with the alignment of recognizing it. So obviously we didn't do a good job of coaching it, and we got to work on those. We'll see them this week from the Jets. They're a good screen team. Washington's one of the best screen backs in the league. So I'm sure they're probably sitting down there drawing up about 10 or 12 different ones. They probably can't wait to run them against us this week. So we're going to have to defend them a lot better than we did yesterday.
We
have to coach it better too.
Here's the reality, though. When they let us go, D linemen, we want to believe it's us that beat them, and they just
sure. That's
us.
Right.
I won. I beat the bastard. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it's Jesus.
Even though you're running right past the running back standing there, and he's not going to block you. I wonder why he's not helping.
So quick. Look at me, Dad.
We'll take a quick pick. A quick break. Quick that's pick? What we'll take.
Pick
whatever.
What?
And then we'll look at the New York Jets coming up next year with a coach.
Did somebody say they wanted to hear the greatest sports talk radio station in America?
Yes, I did.
Cool, because it's right here. This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Nice catch, Cap! How do you do it?
Experience! Spend enough time!
No! Your hair! It's amazing! All the time!
Thanks for noticing! I stopped into Supercuts!
They gave me a cut that's great for sea life!
And they knew because of the salt of the air!
To recommend the strongest gel they have.
Think I could borrow some?
Look, pal, we share everything. Let me at least have my hair gel.
Selfish.
For haircut experience you just can't shut up about, Supercuts every time.
Hi, I'm Kurt Schilling, former Boston pitcher turned entrepreneur. I love to write about baseball almost as much as I love to play baseball. But the truth is, throwing an 0-2 curveball is sometimes easier than cranking out copy. That's why I'm such a big fan of Dragon Naturally Speaking speech recognition software from Nuance. It lets me create, format, and edit virtually any document without ever typing a word. If you can talk, you can type with Dragon Naturally Speaking.
Learn more about Dragon Naturally Speaking at voicesofdragon.com or buy Dragon starting at $99 at Staples or Amazon.com.
It's game time. Time to unthink tailgating with KFC's Tailgate Feast. There's plenty to pass around. 10 pieces of freshly made KFC chicken featuring new Kentucky Grill, plus 3 large sides, 6 biscuits, 6 hot wings, and a thirst-quenching mega chug.
Here we go, guys.
A bunch of hungry fans to feed? Pick up a Tailgate Feast at KFC, where you get more bang for your buck. Limited time offer. Participating KFC restaurants. Prices may vary. Tax extra. Includes white and dark pieces. Extra charge for recipe substitution.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, back live down here at Gillette Stadium. We're talking with Bill Belichick, our weekly chat with the coach. And let's take a look ahead, because one thing about this league is it might have been ugly. You still get a victory. They still give it to you. They don't take it away. You might not be the prettiest looking.
Tell that to Calipari.
And you move on to the next game, and you don't have a lot of time to get ready for a Jets team that was pretty impressive down in Houston. Let's start with the defense and how much of this, because we were talking earlier, it looks an awful lot like some of the stuff we saw Rex Ryan running in Baltimore. How much do they run, and what concerns you about it?
Well, I'd say it's pretty much the Baltimore playbook, right? It looks like they Xeroxed that off and changed Ravens to Jets and handed it out. And you can see a lot of the players play the same roles with the Jets that they played in Baltimore. So, I think that, they've done a good job. They have a good scheme. They got some good players, as we know. And, getting Ellis back this week, I'm sure that'll help them. But they're fast. They got, good players in the secondary, Rhodes and Revis, of course, linebackers. They can rush the passer. They can play to run. They got some big guys up front. Jenkins is a problem. Ellis is a problem. So, they have good players. They have a good scheme. And they do a good job. And they hustle. They're a playmaking group.
Are you surprised when you watch a Houston game? It didn't seem like they prepared for that amount of blitzing. Like, they didn't watch Baltimore film. I'm watching this going, what are they doing? They fire four guys to the right side blitzing, and they're not even sliding that way. Was I correct in seeing that?
Yeah, I think you were, Fred. Yeah,
wow,
I think you were.
It's right again.
It was hard to watch that film and at times wonder exactly how they were trying to handle some of the things that Baltimore was doing. Everybody gets caught in a bad play against a bad defense, but there are times where it just looked like they had an opportunity to block some of the things that Baltimore was running, and they had 3 for 3, but they didn't get them blocked, or they had 4 for 4, and they missed it somehow. And then there were other times when they had 3 for 4, and one guy was coming free, and the quarterback didn't get rid of the ball, and so of course he got hit. So. And I'm not sure exactly what happened there, but the Jets certainly, had a lot of hits on the quarterback. They had a lot of pressure. They turned the ball over. They had a lot of negative plays, and they played very well on defense. So,
were you impressed by the rookie quarterback for the Jets?
He looks like Sanchez looks like a guy who really wants to try to make some plays out there, try to make something happen. Sometimes it happens good, sometimes it doesn't. He certainly makes a lot more plays than he doesn't make, but he's very aggressive. He'll try to force the ball in there. He'll try to make big plays, and he has a lot of confidence in his arm, like most good quarterbacks do, and they don't feel like they need a lot of space because they can zing it in there, and Sanchez will do that. So it looks like he's very confident and very aggressive throwing the ball. So, you better have good position on the receivers because he doesn't need a lot of space. He can throw the ball well.
He seemed to find some space, though. Is that footwork? I mean, he seems to move around in the pocket quite well. And I don't know if it's just the confidence that you were just talking about. He wants to do certain things, but he seemed to find some room back there.
Yeah, he's fairly athletic, and they move him, too. I'd say they probably ran 4 or 5 bootlegs in that game, and to try to get him out on the perimeter of the defense, and he did that, with ease. I mean, he runs well and throws well on the run too. So I think that's definitely a part of the package for him.
He had a little rookie luck too, because he threw some couple of passes that were dropped that he fired into a crowd, and you continually do that. You're right. You're young. You haven't been burnt yet, and you're going to be a little bit more risque until you get toasted. But he did have a couple lucky drops in that game too by the defense.
Right. Well, as I said, he's very aggressive and very confident in his arm. So he'll zing it in some tight spots, and sometimes he gets it in there, and sometimes he doesn't. So it's but he's not afraid to do it, and he definitely will challenge the defense. No question about that.
You had that great game with Baltimore back in 2007, that Monday night game, that classic. Yeah. So you're going to show a lot of that game, a lot of that film, and see if Rex Ryan's going to put a lot of those schemes back into play, because that was one hell of a game. They almost pulled it off.
Yes, it was, and we've already seen that. Really, I mean, in watching the Jets film, we've already seen a lot of what we saw in that night, and. Yeah, we've broken that game down. We've looked at it pretty carefully, and I'm sure that some elements of that game will show up this Sunday, you know, when the Jets play us, you know, the looks or blitzes. Or he might have something where he tries to give us the same look and then does something else off it, you know, knowing that we're looking at that game. But that's definitely a good game to watch because that's him playing us.
The Jets' offensive line certainly has enough experience. How good are they?
You know, I think they're a lot better than they were last year, Steve. They seem to have really, not that there's a lot of new players, but they just look like they're playing better. And you know, I know Bill Callahan's, I think, an outstanding line coach. He did a great job with the Raiders and when he was at Wisconsin. I mean, he's just a good football coach. And it's really the same guys we played against, but they seem to be very efficient and they're playing well. And they protected Sanchez well and they blocked well in the running game. And they did a good job, and they've done a good job in preseason against the Giants and the Eagles, and in their preseason games they played against some good defensive fronts, and they've been very competitive against them. So they look pretty solid.
So you know you can get Ryan's films for defense. We can get offense to really look in depth. Callahan's done.
Well, it's the same. It's the same offense as yeah, you know, with Brian Schottenheimer, I think. His plays and his offensive approach is, you know, similar to what we saw in 06 and 07. I think things changed a little bit last year with Favre, and they adapted a lot of things to accommodate him. But Schottenheimer's offense and the way they attacked us and the way they attack other teams, I think, is consistent with his philosophy and what he likes to do. You know, he does. He gives you a lot of different looks, uses a lot of different personnel groups, very creative, and you have to defend a lot of things when you get ready for them. They give you a lot of different not only formations and personnel groups, but also plays and schemes. And, you know, like last week against Houston, they ran, you know, a handful unbalanced line plays, and then they ran wildcat, and then they run empty, and they, you know, they have two tight ends, and they have offensive linemen playing tight end, and then they got they put Hunter out and split him out, you know, a big offensive tackle and split him out, you know, by the sideline. And so, you know, just things that are kind of unconventional that a lot of times you wouldn't even talk to your defense about. Well, you got to not only talk to them this week, but you're probably going to see some of them.
It takes more time the defense to put all this junk in. They don't use a lot, but you got to cover it.
Right, right. That's right. It is. It's you don't want those plays to beat you. You have to waste time on them, and I know that's what they want. They show it one or two times, and they get whatever they get out of it, and then they don't worry about it for a while. But, you know, you still need to cover it.
Is there a tendency from coaches, and I guess it probably depends on how good the quarterback, young quarterback is, but with a rookie quarterback, first few games, maybe you pull some stuff back because you're afraid to expose them to too much. Now, in this case, they've got two terrific running backs and versatile running backs, and there's some things that they can do. But do you find that sometimes in games when you're sitting there and you're game planning and then you watch it play out and you see that maybe they're pulling back the reins a little bit on this quarterback and using some of the other weapons that they have?
Yeah, I think that's definitely probably the case with any young quarterback, Glenn. Thinking back to when Tom took over back in 2001, not that we held back, but the offense has expanded so much. And even last year with Matt, and Matt had 4 years of experience, so he was very familiar with everything we did offensively. But still, as the season grew, the plays expanded and the options expanded. So I think that's just kind of a normal course of evolution, you know, during the year. In September, when you've only had 6 weeks of practice, and I say only 6 weeks, but, you know, that's a significant amount of time, but it's nothing compared to, you know, when you double or triple that later on in the season. And so you should be able to do more. You should be able to do it better. You should be able to create more options, regardless of who your quarterback is, whether it's a rookie or, you know, a 4 or 5 year veteran. So, but, yeah, I do think that each week they're probably going to continue to add things, as we saw in the preseason, and I'm sure that the next time around we see them, we'll see, you know, even a broader stroke than what we've seen, you know, going into this game.
What's the tipping point for you? When do you know when to put more stuff in and when not to? You just feel it in practice?
Yeah, I think the answer to that's a tough one, Fred, but I think the answer to that is when you see your execution level dropping. You know, plays that you used to be able to execute well, when that starts to tail off a little bit because you've expanded the volume, then I think that's a time to sit back and say, well, has this expansion hurt our execution on the plays that we already should be doing well because we're familiar with? And then when that happens, then I think you got to pull the reins in.
And that holds true for defense, because that's absolutely relevant now because you got a younger defense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, that's definitely got to be a consideration defensively. Sometimes you just can't make all the adjustments and do all the things that you were able to do at another point in time, whether it was later in the previous season or with a different group of players, whatever it is. And so you have to, you know, find that water level where it's an equilibrium where everybody's comfortable. How much is, you know, how much is enough? And you don't want to be so basic that they just, you know, you don't give the offense any problems, but at the same thing, you don't want to go out there and beat yourself with a bunch of mental errors because you don't know what to do. So you want to try to find that happy medium. And because you never know exactly what the other team's going to do, it's hard to, you know, hard to totally predict that.
Coach, if Mayo's out for a while, would you ever go to the booth and ask Bruschi to come back?
Fred already did.
Call him, won't take my call. Well, he's been in shape. He just quit camp. I mean, he could still go.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know where we would be on that one. I don't know where Teddy is on that one, so.
If he'd answer my phone call, I could tell you about that.
Would you consider it, though?
Well, I don't know. It would depend. I mean, first of all, he'd have to want to do it. Second of all, it'd have to be the right thing for us. And whether all those stars would be in alignment, I don't know.
Let me ask you this. How many agents call the office today?
You know, we hear from a lot of agents every Monday, to be honest with you. Guys that, you know, we have interest in and would have interest in. Because you never know where you might need somebody. You know, you've got to have all your positions covered. And we talk to those players and those agents, and we stay in communication with them, and they stay in communication with us. It's just general business procedure. It's not, you know, necessarily a reaction to anything or not a reaction. It's just, you know, just want to keep up with you. What are you doing? Do you have any options here? Where's the team? Where's the player? Guys are going to visit other clubs. We're bringing guys in to visit. Just trying to keep up with where things are at.
You told us last week that there was a possibility you could bring a third quarterback in, and now that you've gone past that first week and you don't have that vested veteran guarantee, is there a chance you'll bring that guy in, or do you feel confident enough going into the Jets game on Sunday with two guys?
Well, I think we could go into the game with two quarterbacks, as we did last week, or we could not if we felt like the situation was right. So I think we're open to that. I certainly wouldn't commit to it one way or the other, but I think it's, you know, something that we can discuss. We have Isaiah Standback on the practice squad, and even though he hasn't played quarterback in a couple of years, he does have a good background there. So we're going to continue to work with him, and we'll just see how it goes. So it's not a pressing need, but at the same time, I wouldn't sit here and tell you, well, it definitely wouldn't happen either.
All right, here's one for you, Bill. How's this rank with comebacks?
I'll tell you, it's to me, it was reminiscent of the two games in 2000, the San Diego game where we were down by, three games really. The San Diego game, the Oakland game where we were down by 10, and then the Miami game in 02 where we were down by 11 with about the same amount of time to go in the game. Same type of deal. We got the touchdown, and then we got the two-point conversion, and then we kicked off, and we kept them down there and kicked the field goal. And, you know, so it was a similar kind of sequence to that. And of course, all the games were at home, so did have a little bit of a, you know, down 11 with 5 minutes to go in the game. It's not really a good feeling. You kind of remember those. Most of them don't turn out the way last night's game did.
You know how does it carry Pete back to the booth after watching that game?
What are you talking about? The other way around.
All right, Coach.
I was hugging you.
One down, 15 to go. Another one coming up on Sunday. Congratulations on the first one. We'll be talking to you back here on Monday.
All right, sounds good. I'll see you next Monday.